Well, it's good to see each one here today. Thank the Lord for families and family, and it's a wonderful time to be able to get together and share the blessings of the Lord this time of year. I'd like to look at a verse in Matthew, the 5th chapter this morning. Matthew 5th chapter, and I'll start at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We'll stop there. I'm just thinking about this probably. I imagine it probably shocked the crowd or got their attention. They probably had never heard anything quite like this before. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Several of these qualities, mourning, the meek, the merciful, those characteristics seems like they come from a humble heart, a humble spirit. And I'm thinking about the importance of being poor in spirit this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The best way I know to describe this is being poor in spirit is just the simple recognition of our need before God. That we need God. That we can't do it alone. That we need His help in life. We need His blessing in life. There's I believe a scripture in Proverbs, it talks about the proud not seeking after God. It says, neither is God in all their thoughts. You know, the proud person, the lifted up mindset, they feel like they're in control. They feel like they've got perhaps life figured out. And their life is really not characterized by seeking God. Pride is the opposite of being poor in spirit. There's a scripture in Romans where it talks about not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. And pride is a very, very deceptive thing. It's a very... there's another scripture that mentions the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Our pride keeps us from being able to see spiritual, being able to see the things that God wants us to see. There's another place He said He had hid these things from the wise and prudent, but He revealed them to babes. Another place in Luke, he said He filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he sent empty away. That's not talking about earthly riches. It's talking about people that were poor in spirit, that recognized they needed something in their heart, in their life, that life wasn't really just what they hoped it would be or thought it would be, and they recognized that something is missing here. I have something that I need. I'm recognizing that. It said he filled the hungry with good things. Jesus fed the hungry. He filled the hungry soul of man, the spirit of man, with good things. But it said the rich, those that were rich within themselves, said he sent them empty away. You know, I've often thought different times, I thought, you know, I wish I could have been there and heard Jesus' words. I wish I could have sat at his feet and, you know, be able to hear what he had to say. But I'll say this, there's a period of time in my life where it really didn't matter if I would have heard him or not, because I didn't have a heart for him. I didn't have a heart that was reaching out after him. But I'm thankful the Lord follows us through life, and he brings us into places to help us to recognize our need of him. And I believe God is faithful to do that in people's lives. He brings them into places of great need that they can't do it within themselves. They can't make it on their own. They can't figure it out on their own. There's another verse in Deuteronomy. It says, he humbled thee and he suffered thee to hunger, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. So the Lord allowed, he worked with the children of Israel that way. He brought them into places of need, places where they needed him. He knew the route in and out. He knew exactly. He didn't make a mistake, but he brought them into places where they had need to help them to know and to learn that they needed God's help and blessing. It's sad to say that they began to murmur and complain in those times, and perhaps we'll be tempted to do the same thing. But I hope we don't blame God. He endeavors to lead us into places that will help us to recognize that we have need. I also thought this morning of the Apostle Paul and God's dealings with him. And he said, because of the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. God had been blessing Paul's life. God had helped him in many, many ways. God had taught him lots of things, but then there was this thorn in the flesh. And he told them, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, in his weakness, God had, I think, I mean, our natural thoughts sometimes would think, well, I don't have a problem with being lifted up. You know, sometimes we don't even see, we can have pride and we don't see it. We don't recognize it. As I have gotten older in my life, I can look back I can look back to my younger years and see places of pride that I had. Places where I kind of felt like I had it figured out. God wants us to maintain to be poor in spirit, and He allows these things to touch us to help us to be dependent upon Him and His strength, upon His blessing, His help. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. Because we can't do it alone. We can't do it within ourselves. In Psalms, the 51st chapter, the Psalms 51st chapter, verse 16 and 17, he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You know, in our human natural makeup, we'll just about do anything except for this. We don't like to be broken. We don't like to feel broken. But he said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, that's what the Lord really is looking for today. That's what He really desires, a place of surrender in our hearts to Him, a place where we get tired of trying to fight our battles in our strength, a place where we put everything into God's hands and say, "I need you. I need your help. I need your blessing." God hears that kind of prayer. He hears that kind of sacrifice. You know, we can do a lot of good things, a lot of good works, you might say. We can do a lot of good, and I'm not saying anything against those. But this is one thing that God really desires in us, is to be able to see a brokenness, humility, poor in spirit, a surrender in our hearts and lives to Him. I'm thankful today that the Lord is patient in His dealings with us. I know I don't know too many people that are just always obedient on the first whisper. The Lord knocks, and He begins to deal with our heart. He begins to talk to us, and He knocks some more. And He works, and He's faithful to do that. I don't think I would have His patience that He has. I know I don't have His patience, but God is faithful. He'll come back and back and back again, desiring, looking for that contrite, that poor spirit that is really willing to surrender their self into God's hand. There's a lot of other, some other scriptures I wrote down. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." I remember years ago somebody told me about Brother They were in a circumstance, a situation. Brother Austis Wilson was there. And they were pretty zealous for the truth, you might say, or zealous in their point of view. And anyway, it got to, you know how contentions can kind of get going, they can start off just with a... This scripture says, only by pride cometh contention. It's hard to argue with the poor in spirit. They have no desire to argue, the poor in spirit. But they remembered Brother Austis when the argument started to mount up and get a little heated. Brother Austis just kind of quietly put the brakes on. He sensed that it was going the wrong direction. And you can't argue truth into someone. You can't win them by arguing with them. People usually, if they get in an argument, they begin to hold their ground. They begin to close their spirit. And it usually doesn't accomplish any good. But on the contrary, contention causes a lot of negative consequences. Lord, help us to have discernment too at times like that and be able to put the brakes on before contention arises and things that are said that hurt, that wound, that cripple, that disable. Help us to be able to perceive and recognize and be able to take the humble path, the humble route. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Have a familiar scripture. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. You know, it looks like, to the human viewpoint, it looks like weakness. Submission looks like weakness. But to be able to control our spirit, I don't see Christ as a person of weakness. I see Him as a person of great strength, great fortitude of spirit. He was able to control His words. He was able to speak the right things at the right time. But on the human side, sometimes it looks almost like submission is weakness. But when we are able to submit from the heart, God is able to teach us and reveal things to us. I remember my mom at different times accused me of it going in one ear and right out the other ear. And it's because sometimes we don't really listen. We hear with our natural ears, but we don't perceive. We don't really weigh in on what's really being said. And it costs us many times in the long run. It's valuable to be able to just, at times, just to listen and perceive. And you know, the Lord speaks to us through so many different avenues. He speaks to us through the weather. He speaks through us through people that we meet on the streets. He speaks to us. I've been looking to the Lord at different times and praying, and the Lord's used people I would have never thought of to convey a message to my soul, to give me what I needed. He spoke through a donkey. He can speak. He can speak. He can cause people to say things that we need to hear. He can cause circumstances. I've had circumstances just like Jonah. The Lord was trying to speak to Jonah through his circumstances. You're on the wrong boat. You're going the wrong direction. And it got worse and worse and worse until Jonah said, "Well, throw me." Jonah surrendered. The lots fell on Jonah. Everything was pointing towards Jonah. And Jonah, down in the deep depth of his heart, he knew that God had been speaking to him. And he had been fighting against it. And I want to say that's a very human tendency to do. That's very human. Lord, help us. It's very easy in our mind to begin to reason out, to rationale away what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us, what He's trying to reveal to us. Very easy to ration out. But you know, when we surrender and we say, "Okay, Lord, I am listening. Show me. Help me to understand what you're trying to get across to me." And we come to that place of being poor in spirit. The Lord is able to speak to us. He's able to help us. He's able to reveal His will to us. It said He sent the rich empty away, but the hungry He filled with good things. He says, "Younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you," or that He may help you, "that He may work in your behalf, that He may bless you and be with you." Said God resisteth the proud. Our pride hinders Him from working. Our pride hinders God from doing what He would like to do. I think about Naaman too. You remember Naaman? His pride almost cost him His healing. His pride. The prophet told him, he said, "You go dip in the Jordan seven times." And he says, "Why? The rivers where I come from are a lot better than this Jordan River." And he was mad. He was upset. What was that? It was his pride. God's directions to him crossed over his pride. And his servant, I hope he got a blessing. Seemed like he should get a blessing. His servant talked to him and said, "Master, he just asked you to do a simple little thing. If he asked you to do a great thing, would you not have done it? How much more? And here's the Jordan River right here." And Naaman had a change of mind. He had a change of thought, and he went down to the Jordan River. He humbled his heart, and God was able to help him. God was able to bless him. God was able to work in his life. And you know that seventh time when he came up and his flesh was all clean of the leprosy? Don't you know he thought it was worth it? It was worth it. You know, baptism is kind of, it's a humble ordinance, isn't it? You go down the water, your clothes are, you're soaking, your hair is going, sticking to, cleaving to your head. It's a humble ordinance. Repentance is a humble, it's a humble act to repent. Say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." I believe these things are here for our good and for our blessing, but I know, you know, when we surrender, when we submit, we quit arguing with the Lord and we quit our fighting, that's where the blessing comes. That's when we can hear the voice of the Lord. I want to do that better, don't you? And I believe many people today do not hear the voice of the Lord because of these very things that we're talking about. They have their thoughts, their mind. We have our thoughts and our mind. Lord, help us today to be able to surrender our thoughts, to become poor in spirit. Say, "Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes to have your blessing, your approval on my heart and on my life." It said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart that will not despise." The Lord sees that and he hears that. And it draws him. So I just want to encourage us today to seek for a humble heart, to be poor in spirit, to be surrendered to God in a way that he can lead us and that he can speak to us in our lives. Amen.